Welcome, folks, to tonight's Match Night Live preview show. I'm your host, Dermot Liddy. It's great to get back on the air and talk about everything Derry City. We travelled down to Bohemians in the capital in Dublin, and the Gypsies are entertaining us. They're on a decent run now, the Gypsies, and Derry are, well, let's just say Derry are not on an impressive run of form. To discuss everything in the show about Derry City and our travels, I have Gary Ferry from the Derry News, the sports editor from the Derry News, and his colleague, senior sports writer at the Derry Journal, Simon Collins, to talk everything about it. And before we go any further, just to let all the listeners know that we actually do this by Zoom, so we are socially distanced, and I hope everybody is staying safe and following the guidelines and keeping it the best that they can. So let's get on with it. As I talk to two guests, I'm going to go, first of all, maybe to you, Simon, because I was at the Brandywell last week in the 0-0 draw with St Pat's, a slight improvement over the 0-0 against Finn Harps. I've seen you there. What do you make of it all?
It was an improvement, definitely, from Balbuffet, but again, they might have sort of like those defensive frailties, but going forward, they really lack that spark, that creativity. I was a wee bit surprised Walter started on the bench, whether it was maybe just our occurrence of his hamstring problem, but him being one of the more creative players, you know, you would have thought he would have started him, maybe Hamill as well, because that was what the match was lacking. Later on in the game, they had a couple of chances, maybe, I think they had four shots on target in total, but you know, Walter had one of the best chances and kind of snapped at it, could have won the game for them, but much the same, you know, just that lacking that cohesiveness and, you know, the joining them up play from midfield to attack, you know, it's just really been a problem of late.
Well, see, Gary, the thing is, the negative type of people will say that we're not scoring. We played appallingly, abysmally, whatever adjective you want to use against our rivals, Van Harps. It wasn't nice in the eye, Gary, and as Simon said, we had a wee improved performance against Pats, but we didn't score again. And some fans are edgy about that.
Yeah, understandably so, because a few more bad results and Derry City are going to be in a lot of trouble at the wrong end of the table. Whereas this time next week, we could be really pushing Dundalk at our end. But you need to score goals, they won, and you need to create chances to score goals. And Derry City haven't been doing that. Down in Ballybuffet, the pitch is always awful, but even at that, it was awful from Derry. Even last week against Pats, it just seemed when they went past the halfway line, they didn't really know what they do. There was a fear, a real lack of confidence, and you could see it. And that resulted in very few chances again. They have improved at the back, but that's going to get you so far because you need to score goals.
Well, it seems that the manager is quite aware of our problems, and what we're going to do now is we're actually going to listen to him early on here in the show. Our man, Patrick Cook, he caught up and he posed the questions to Derry City manager Declan Devine.
Declan, what's the team news ahead of the game with Bohemians tomorrow night?
Team news is Joe Thompson still misses out. Ali Gilchrist is seeing a specialist on Monday and hopefully resumes full training on Tuesday. So Ali misses out in this one again. Stevie Mullen's got a bit of an issue at the minute. It's a nerval thing, but we're hoping that he'll be okay. But we'll get down with a strong squad, Paggy. Very difficult game, difficult venue. But we have to go down with a belief and an honesty about ourselves that we can get a result. I think it's been well documented. We've got to be more on the front foot in terms of our attacking principles. You know, we've got to be a bit more creative in our approach to games, but it's a game that all week we've been looking forward to. You know, Bohemians have a fantastic season, you know, and it's a good benchmark for us to get down here and hopefully get back to winning ways, because, you know, as disappointed as everybody has been in recent weeks with the draws, you know, we've lost one game in seven domestically. And we need to turn some of them draws, you know, and they wins, and hopefully we can do that come Friday.
Of course, Keith Long lost a few games there, but back to one away last week. You'll be hoping to hold that again, Declan, to bring those 3 points back to Northwest?
Well, that's the target. It's always the target. You know, the key factor is you only won as many football matches between now and the end of the season as we possibly can. If you can't win those games, it's important you don't lose them. You know, so we've got to fight for everything between now and the end of the season. We've got to fight for every point. We've got to fight for every 3 points. We've got to have a willingness to go the extra yard. We've got to be, as I said already, a lot more creative than what we've been in the previous two games. But, you know, the players have worked hard all week, and we'll go down here and we'll do everything in our powers to make sure that we come up that road with 3 points.
Of course, Declan, the next 10 days are very busy. With the Sligo game being rearranged, brought forward, you're going to be flat out.
For me, it's a big plus that the game's brought forward. What we didn't want was a huge backlog in the last 2 weeks of the season and having a lot of games to squeeze in because the league has got to finish by the end of October. So, look, when we're sitting here now at the end of September, there's 4 or 5 weeks left. We're going to have a 10-day period where we won't have a game. So we got to appreciate that the games are our bread and butter. We got to appreciate that it's a real honour to play for Derry City in these games. We got to appreciate that there's an expectation on us now to start getting a few ones. But if you're a footballer and you're, you know, at the top of your game, then you really look forward to games coming. And from my point of view, the games can't come thick enough, fast enough, sorry.
Of course, you spoke about Ali there, seeing a specialist this week. Do you expect Ali to be back in the squad before the end of the season? I've read in local papers today that he thinks himself he may not be back.
Well, I'm hoping he is. Look, we can't judge it. We have to make sure that, you know, we take advice on the medical department, but, you know, whether he's back or whether he's not, you know, it presents an opportunity for other people. I think Cameron McChanlett has really grasped that opportunity. But look, we'll wait on the medical advice. He's back doing bits and pieces at the minute, and hopefully we have him back on the field to play in the coming weeks.
Many weeks do you expect Joe Thompson to be for Declan?
I don't know, Paggy. With these muscle injuries, look, the way it is at the minute in this season, you see so many players missing long periods of time with muscle injuries, and that's on the back of players having done very little for 3-4 month periods. You know, the reality is in this shortened season and a tight campaign, you're always going to pick up muscle injuries, but unfortunately for the player and for us is that whenever you're on a tight schedule, as we are with 4 or 5 weeks left of the season, it becomes critical that if you get a muscle injury, then we've got to try and treat it the best that we possibly can, and also not take a risk that if you do bring somebody back, then that's their season over. So I'm hoping that you will have an influence again before the season runs out.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks very much indeed, Patrick, for posing the questions. I suppose part of that interview, Declan's always upbeat, Simon, but he's aware that we need to be more created, and I know you've kind of spoke to him and Conor McCormick doing your journalistic pieces over this last week or so, but he's always upbeat. But as you said, Walter was on the bench, and where do you see our creativity coming from if Stephen Mallon on the bench and Walter Figueroa on the bench, where else do you see it coming from?
Well, you mentioned those guys, James Akintunde, he's been, you know, he started off well, he sort of faded a wee bit as well too, but you like to think Adam Hamill, like he's got that experience at the top level, and you know, I was again started on the bench against Pats, you know, whether that's a fitness issue or whatever, but you would like for him to start maybe against Bowes. Perhaps it's not the right game for him, but he's the type of guy who can deliver crosses on the box, can really maybe create something. But I just thought against Pats and against Harps, Ibrahim Midday, he's been very isolated up top, and something needs to change. Just speaking to Declan yesterday too, he was saying that they've been working very hard on that during the week in training. He's very happy with the progress that they've made, and he's got full confidence that they can solve that problem, you know. And it's going to be tight going down the Bows, always is. So whether I can do it in Dalymount, that remains to be seen.
Absolutely. And Gary, we've travelled to Dalymount over the years, and Derry have a decent record at it. And they certainly had under the other manager, Kenny Shields, just before Declan's time. But just to put it into perspective, if anybody knows Gary on the show, they know he's full of stats, and when you read his pieces, he's full of stats. On his Monday and Thursday pieces on his Derry newspaper. But, you know, Derry's sitting in sixth, and they have a game in hand over fifth place Sligo, who will be actually playing Tuesday night. But Gary, Derry City have played 11 games to date, and they've only scored 11 goals. And as Simon was saying, two from Akintunde, two from Walter Figueroa, and two from Stephen Mallon. One from Adam Little, who's gone. One from Ibrahim Mitty. One from Conor McCormick, and one from Adam Hamill. Gary, I know you go to these matches as fans as well, as a journalist, but somebody else has to weigh in with goals, surely, or the forwards have to take these half chances. They have to do something, because 11 games, 11 league goals. I mean, one was an OG we got from Kevin O'Connor in the Cork game. So, I mean, we've only got 10 Derry City goal scorers. It's not good enough, is it?
No, and like I think it was 2 years ago, we had McAniff and McNamee both scored 10 each from midfield, and that makes a massive difference. And this season, as you say, McCormick, Hamill, it's just not happened from anywhere. Like Owen Toll scored a goal in the Europa League, and Joe Thompson. So it's few and far between. Everyone's shipping in, like, probably at this rate, one goal a season, but you need a lot more. Up top, you know, Ibrahim's been isolated. There's been very little service. But who looks like scoring goals from midfield? I know, like, players like Kieran Harkin make runs under the box. But if nothing's happening in the final third, there's no creativity. It's almost as if they're waiting for somebody else to do something rather than making it happen as a group. They're hoping that somebody does something. And confidence comes from that. You get a goal, you get confidence. You get two goals, you get more confidence. But the minute they're just struggling as a team beyond that halfway line, beyond under the final third, it's just not even looking likely. I know it's only been two games, two nil nils, but you start to worry because of the nature of the league table. Goals really have to come soon.
Well, I mean, if you don't score goals, you lose games or you draw them. You know, Declan said there, he would rather win a game and lose a game for you get 3 points, Simon, rather than draw two games. But, you know, on the other side of all that, you know, it's one loss in seven. It's a couple of clean sheets. They're not conceding silly goals the last couple of games. And, you know, McJanet's come on there. They replace Ali Gilchrist, and he seems to have settled on well with Owen Toll. Suppose we can take the positives from that, can't we?
Well, that's I think Cameron McGann's been very good. Like, he's just like he's been there for quite a while, and as you say, Declan puts that spin on it that they've only lost 1-7, but they've only won two of those, and it's just not good enough. You know, it's a strange league. It's, we all know that the lack of supporters is playing its part, especially at the Brandywell, but it's very tight. Like, I run it. They've got three massive games here now in a space of a week. 6 points out of the three games would bring them right up there and be contention for European places again. So it's strange like that. But you're talking about defensively, definitely Owen Toll's been outstanding. He's really taken it up a level. Darren Cole coming on there at right back too has showed up. And they do look, any time before the last couple of weeks, you know, set pieces, corner, you know, from corner kicks, free kicks, your heart was in your mouth, you know, because you thought that, you know, we could concede. But they seem to have sorted that out, and it's just about striking that balance now between the defence and the attack. If they can get that right, get a couple of ones on the run here, like, you know, and you never know what could happen. You know, all these doubters could turn on the, you know, get behind them, you know, and you never know.
Well, you mean, you just touched on it, you know, Darren Cole's come back, Gary, and certainly slotted in there to the defence. We know he's a quality player, and Derry aren't conceding too many when he's in, but having watched him his last couple of games, Gary, he doesn't offer the attacking options that Horgan does. Horgan gets right up to the byline, gets crosses in, and, you know, Cole's more tentative, shall I say, going forward, you know. Suppose Declan has to balance that up, doesn't he? You know, I mean, Horgan's attacking and defensive frailties. We know he's been, it's a few defensive errors from his part has led to goals. But, that's the job of the manager, though, isn't it? I mean, do you start from the back and not concede? Or You know, this is I mean, there's no coincidence that Cole's come on and we've stopped conceding silly goals.
I think there's no doubt that Declan prefers Darren Cole, which is harsh on Callum Horgan because he has done well in spells. He does have a few assists this season. Darren's very composed in the ball. He's probably a bit taller. He has been there for 3 years now. He knows all about the league. I suppose Callum does as well, but he definitely fancies Darren Cole. And as you say, goals have stopped going into our end. Owen Toll, Cameron McJanet, they're all Kieran Cole, all working well together. And I suppose as a back four, Declan wants that consistency. Doesn't want to be chopping and changing. And, you know, if your team's not conceding goals, why would you change it? And Callum Horgan's unfortunate to lose out. But in terms of flying up and down the wing, he's no Gary Neville or Patrice Evra, but, you know, he does offer that composure and experience, I suppose.
So I like the way you went back on the history there, and you didn't mention
Pascal Vallegro.
The two Liverpool fullbacks who seem to be flying, you know, but, you know, I'm not a Liverpool fan either, but, I mean, I have to give them recognition. I mean, let's be honest, it was Pascal Van de Gaan was the original attacking right back, never mind Gary Neville. But, folks, you're listening to Dermot Liddy in the Match Night Live preview show. I have guests from the Derry News, Gary Ferry, and from the Derry Journal, Simon Collins, talking about the upcoming match down at the Gypsies, a difficult venue we all know. But, you know, Derry beat them 2-0 at the end of February. With an absolute cracking goal from Stephen Mallon and Walter Figueroa chipping in right about the 92nd minute. They seal it. I know people don't look in history, but, you know, Derry can take heart from that they beat them already once this season and they can do it again. Talking about Derry City's away performances, Simon, you know, they've played five away from home and they've only won once, but they've drawn two and lost two, and their goal difference is goals for 4-4 against, so it ends out at 0. And, you know, Keith Long has a decent outfit down there. You know, Bows are in second place. I mean, people were touting them very early on. They challenged Shamrock Rovers for the league and Dundalk, and this is a difficult venue to get, even to get a point down here. So a point down here, I know it'll be three draws in a row if Derry manage it, but a draw wouldn't be a bad result down here either, would it?
I think a draw, you would take a draw now, but they don't need a draw, they need a one. But I know there's a bit of rain in Dublin over the last couple of days too, which makes that pitch at Derry Mount a bit tougher to play on, and it's always going to be a battle at Bowes. But they've been really impressive. I know they had a couple of poor results, but decent performances in those results until the Sligo game where they came back and won 1-0 and were very impressive. Some fantastic young talent, like, and Keith Lawrence done an amazing job there, you know, bringing guys back from England, taking them through the academy, and from St. Kevin Boys as well too, where they've got a few players. Dawson Devoy is the name in everybody's lips at the minute. He got the assist there against Sligo, and he's really impressive. You know, both feet, you've got, you know, they're just full with talent. Either he's keeping Danny Mandrew and Keith Ward out of the team, so it just shows you the strength and depth they've got. It's going to be a really tough challenge. I think that's the difference between Bowes and Derry, just that depth and quality, because, you know, they've got maybe two men for every position. You've James Talbot coming on back in as well, too, keeping a clean sheet for them last week. And that's even from a goalkeeper point of view, they've got two men there that can easily come on and do a fantastic job. So, brilliant season for Bowes. I know they're 8 points behind Rovers now, not thinking about the title, but if they were to finish second, that would be a fantastic achievement this season.
Well, it certainly would be. And, you know, what we'll do now is we'll talk about the referee. Man in the middle for Friday night's game is Ben Connolly. Ben's been on the senior panel now for about 4 years. In fact, he refereed Derry when we beat Cove in the League Cup final in the Brandywell there a couple of years ago. So he was a referee in charge of that. It's only his fourth game of the season. In fact, he was supposed to referee Derry and Fan Harps a couple of weeks ago there, but he took ill before the game and he had to do fourth official duties. I mean, that's twice, believe it or not. I mean, last year, or was it the year before, he was sent the referee, Fun Harps and Derry, and he couldn't make it that Friday. And they had to send Neil Doyle. He took ill. Maybe Ben's afraid of ref and Derry, but maybe not, because he refereed a couple of years ago down in Dundalk in the 2-2 draw when he sent Gavin Pears off. And he awarded Derry a penalty. And in the four games, or in the three previous games, sorry, this season, he's handed out 17 yellow cards and no reds. And I was talking to a couple of FAI senior panel referees, and they think it's so weird refereeing without a crowd. Nobody abusing them in the Brandywell or shouting stuff at half time. I'll not tell you who the referee I was talking to earlier, but he says it's great coming off at half time. He says to silence. Usually it's a barrage of abuse if Derry's getting bit or something's gone awry. But he says, overall, he says it's kind of weird. But there you go. It must be. It is definitely strange for referees out there too. We know fans on the ground as for the players. So that's your referee, Ben Connolly. He's in charge. Let's hope he has a decent match, because if he has a decent match, then that allows the game to flow and we can have a decent game. It could be a 5-all game. Imagine that. How hopeful am I? But there you go. Taking on Bohemians down there on Friday night. You're listening to Dermot Liddy in the Match Night Live preview show. And, well, let's talk, Gary. I mean, I was talking to a couple of fans earlier today, actually, and they think Derry still have a chance of Europe. Give us your thoughts on that.
Well, you know yourself, the last couple of weeks we all, you know, try to be optimistic, and we predict results, and none of us have any idea where we're getting optimism from based on the performances. But the fact is, if Derry won against Bowes, they're 1 point behind Dundalk, which is incredible when you consider how many points have been dropped so far. If Derry beat Bowes and Sligo, we'll be doing a Congo of Shipkey Street the way it's going. It's just, it really could turn on a dime. Like, it's one lucky goal, lucky result, or whatever, could really give them the boost they really, really need. At the same time, it could go a lot of way, and that's why, or at least two matches coming now, you'd need to at least get 1-1, I think. At least.
He's talking about 1-1 there, Simon Gary, and, you know, two difficult venues, down the Bowes on Friday night, and then, you know, you could even look ahead to Tuesday night's game at Sligo Rovers, and that's another difficult place to get even a point. But you were talking to Conor McCormick, and he's still hopeful of European spot. I mean, this is in the players' mind. I think I read the quote in the newspaper article you wrote, Simon, was looking up and not looking down. I mean that's the optimism, you know, but as Gary says, it's perilous. It's really, really on the knife edge which way this could go for Derry.
Speaking to Conor McCormick, he really believes it. And it's the reason why he signed for Derry. He's very open about saying that. He came up to play in Europe. It was his best chance to play in Europe. And he's determined. He's here next season. He's determined to be playing in Europe next season. So they see something. They're optimistic. They think it's just going to, you know, they'll click on the year at some point. But they're running out of games quickly. As I say, these three games now in the space of 7 days are going to be pivotal. This is season defining for Derry in terms of the league. But as you said, two very difficult venues. I won at Bowes, and that could spark something. You know, give you the confidence to go on to those other two games against Sligo and Waterford. And you just don't know. It's a strange season, and it's, you just can't predict anything.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right there. I mean, how's this for an off-field remark, Gary? Do you think the way things are going now with predicted many lockdowns and stuff, do you think the league will finish, Gary? Do you think they'll get through October?
Not even something you want to think about, because it's been so frustrating this whole season and just life in general lately, and then this happens this week. But you know, if it keeps spiking, it has to be something that we might have to consider. I mean, there's not many games left, and maybe they might just fire through it. Just depends if the numbers keep growing up. Hopefully not, because we all want to see football. We all want fans back in stadiums. We all want life back to normal. But if it takes a bit of sacrifice, then we'll have to do it. But there's only what, nine games left in the league, or and then a couple of cup games if we do well in the cup. That's only a couple of weeks, really, and you think about 5 or 6 weeks. So hopefully we all get it finished. Either way, personally, I think this whole season's a write-off regardless of what happens. I think how it's been going, just even from a Derry City point of view, it's just been a disaster in a lot of ways. And I'm very much looking forward to next season and hopefully just put this one in the bun.
Put this one in the bun, indeed. Imagine, just drop, kick it, and that's the end of it. Give everybody European money, and you know, it's a fairy tale end. But that's not going to happen, folks. We've got to get really kicking off here on Friday. We need to stop these draws and gather up a one. And, well, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. You know, I have all the hopes. I mean, two away games, I always hope for 6 points, but that mightn't happen, you know. And time is closing in on us, folks. You know, talking to people about football, and it's nice to be back on the airwaves talking about it. But there's still dangers lurking out there, so everybody stay safe and please follow the guidelines, sanitize, wear masks, social distance as best you can, and please, please, please do it, because, I mean, the sooner fans get back to the Brandywell and get on the Daly Mountain Tala and even Fun Park, the better things will be for all of us. So we're going to wrap this up very, very soon, and what I will ask you is, you know, Simon, could he take a chance on some of the under-19s? I mean, some of the results in the younger age groups have been going well for Derry. I mean, and Declan would know that better than anybody. It's always an option. They look there, isn't it?
Certainly, I guess that, like, it's worked in the past. Whether or not, with so much pressure in these games now, so much at stake, whether it's fair to throw somebody in, and, you know, I don't know if anybody's ready for that step up yet. We've seen young Jack Malone, guys like that, who's got the mentality. They get thrown under the deep end. He's thrived on it. But I just think at the moment, I don't think it's worth the risk. They bring people through from the 19s and they such, you know, high pressure games. And just a point on what you were saying about, you know, if it does, COVID situation does get a lot worse. I know Declan was saying yesterday about how important it is they finish the season and how you basically qualify for Europe, because we don't know what next season's got in store, and in terms of how crucial it is for the club and the club's coffers. Like, it's the pressure on these games and they finish in Europe, I think it's massive for them.
So, I mean, not only financially, I suppose financially, I mean, you're absolutely right, Simon, looking ahead and the bigger picture, looking ahead to next season. And then saying that, Gary, so, I mean, could we say that the next two or three games, the same as I said earlier, three massive games, could this be the defining moment of Derry's season now, the next couple of games?
Well, it has to come at some point. I mean, you're right on the precipice of a relegation fight that no one wants to say, or fighting for Europe, which we all hope is going to happen. And we're all kind of sitting around waiting for it to happen, kind of expecting it to happen. But the reality is it's not happening. We're not seeing any kind of spark from the players that are there. They take Derry under that top half properly. And the more points they drop, you know, the more you start to worry. And I'm sure all the fans are the same. You know, players, like Conor McCormick, can be positive all they want, but you need the results on the pitch. There's no goals, there's no ones. That has to change. And come next Friday night, 10 o'clock, half 10, we'll all know which it's going to be, I think.
Well, there you have it, folks. It is. That's the way the season's going to be. I think myself, for what it's worth, and people can correct me or tell me later on that I'm wrong, but the next two or three games, as the two boys have alluded to, are our definition of the season and what it will, what way it will end. And so it has to start with a one down at Daly Mount. That's what I'm saying. Folks, it's been absolutely brilliant talking to you both. Great to see you by Zoom, and everybody's looking well, thank goodness. And I hope everybody's safe belonging to you. So what we're going to do now is we end the show traditionally with predictions, and I'm going to leave Simon to last so you can think about it, and you better hope Gary doesn't take your prediction. Don't be afraid to match it and say that he's your hero and you like copying him. Over to you, Gary. Give us a prediction for Friday night, please.
Where I'm getting this one, but I was thinking of Northern Illinois, but I thought, no, I'm going to go 1-0 Derry because Bowes have lost a couple recently, and there's never a lot of goals in the game. I'm just going to put my ridiculous optimism out there and say 1-0 Derry.
Well, there's nothing wrong with ridiculous optimism sometimes when you hear what Simon Collins has to say, folks.
Well, Derry, they've been working hard and that creativity and that attacking flair, but 0-0 for me.
Well, what the two experts, shall I say, have just said is Bowes haven't scored against Derry, so it's going to be the third clean sheet for Peter Cherry. And hopefully it is, because at this stage, I'll take a point. Our director of operations, Kevin Moore, is nodding in agreement as well, because he thinks Derry won't score either. But there you go, folks. It's been an absolute blast. Thanks for listening. As I keep reiterating, please stay safe and follow the guidelines around this COVID-19. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'm going to hand over now to the team in Daily Mount. Thanks for listening, folks.